A young man was once called by his lawyer and told that his grandmother had left him an inheritance. He was real excited, went to the lawyers, and the real will was read to him, and he found that his grandmother had left him $20,000 and, quote, "my Bible and all it contains." He thought, "Man, I want the 20,000 bucks, but I know what the Bible's about. Don't want that religious junk." So what he did is he took that Bible and put it up on a high shelf and just left it there, didn't open it. And then he went to Vegas and spent the $20,000 on fast living, fast women. It's gone pretty quick. Then he lived the next 60 years as a pauper, scraping for every meal, barely the clothing on his back. And he became so destitute, so hungry, that his relatives had to come and take him to live with them. And as he was cleaning out his home, he reached up to that shelf and grabbed that old dusty Bible with its brass clasps. And as he took it in his trembling hands, it fell on the floor and opened up to reveal a $20 bill between every page. He had lived his life as a pauper, scraping for every meal, when he could have lived his life as a rich man, but he didn't because of prejudice. Now maybe you are prejudiced too. If you're a normal human being, you're thinking to yourself, "Yeah, I don't want that religious junk, men in 90s flinging water on people. I know what the Bible contains." That was kind of my philosophy until I opened the scriptures 33 years ago and saw that the Bible actually contains the greatest riches any of us could ever hope to find. Let me ask you a question. Would you sell one of your eyes for $1 million? If I was a doctor and I was walking along the line and saying, "Hey, we want to do eye transplants and we can take one of your eyes out in a 1 hour operation, be totally painless, and we'll give you another glass eye to slip in the slot. It'll look as good as this eye, it just won't look as good as this eye. You'll be blind in one eye. $1 million cash. Would you take it?" Some of you may. Okay, here's the crunch. "We want a matching pair. They must be fresh. We're willing to offer you $20 million for both of your eyes." You say, "Whoa, $20 million. Now I can see the world." You don't see a thing if you don't have eyes. You just sit in your darkness of your home counting your money. And I guarantee nobody in his right mind for one moment would ever consider selling both their eyes for $20 million, $100 million, $20 billion. Your eyes are precious to you. Now think about it. Think of the value of your life that looks out of those eyes. These are the shutters that we look out of. What must your life be worth? The greatest riches you could ever hope to obtain in this life is to retain that life that you've got. Isn't that true? Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" So today I want to bring before you some very serious thoughts that will help you see the value of your life to you. I'm going to take you through a few of God's commandments, those 10 commandments. You know the ones that are written on your heart? You shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not lie, you shall not commit adultery. They're written on our heart via the conscience. The Bible tells us God has written them with a pen of a diamond on our heart. That conscience is like a judge on the courtroom of your mind. When you do something wrong, the conscience makes an impartial judgment and says that was wrong. That's irrespective of what you want to do. You may not want to hear the voice of your conscience. It's still there. It's irrespective of what you will. And it's because God has placed it there to tell you right from wrong. So listen to that voice today as we go through a few of the commandments. You shall not steal. Have you ever stolen something? If you've stolen anything, you're a thief. God saw the crime that you committed. Have you ever borne false witness? Now, I'm not talking about white lies and half-truths. I'm talking about a bold-faced lie. Have you ever lied? You say, "Yeah, I have." Well, then you're a liar. And God has been a witness to your crime. And the Bible says, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Now, I don't like saying that, but that's what the Bible says. You and I demean sin. We trivialize it. But God sees it as something being very serious, worthy of the death sentence, worthy of damnation. That's how holy God is. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Have you ever used God's name as a cuss word to express disgust? Something called blasphemy. Ever done that? You say, "Yeah, I have." You've taken the name of the God who gave you those eyes you so value. who gave you the ability to see and think and hear and taste. The God that lavished you with life, and you've taken his name and used it as a cuss word to express disgust. That's called blasphemy. And the Bible says the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And what are you going to do on the day of judgment? Jesus said, every idle word a man speaks, he'll give an account thereof on the day of judgment. And listen to this one. Jesus said, you've heard it said by them of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. You see, God sees your thought life. Nothing is hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to give an account. The Bible asks the question, shall not he who formed the eye also see? Do you think God created the eye? He is such the genius of God's creative hand made the eye. Do you think God is blind? No, the Bible says the eye of the Lord is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees the darkness as pure light. And he will bring every work to judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. What will you do on that day when you stand before God? And all your sins come out as evidence of your guilt. How will you escape the damnation of hell? That's what the Bible asks. Well, there's an answer. God has provided a way for you to save your life. But listen to the words of Jesus. He that seeks to save his life will lose it. If you try and hold on to your soul, your life, and reject God, you're going to lose your life. But if you yield it to God through Jesus Christ, God says you can keep it. And this is why you can keep your life. God became a human being. God was manifest in the flesh, the Bible says, for a specific purpose. God became a perfect human being in Jesus Christ so that he could give his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. When Jesus was on the cross, he was bruised for our iniquities. He took the punishment for the crimes that you and I committed. We broke God's law, and Jesus paid our fine in his life's blood. He poured out his soul unto death, the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, that's what God offers you. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, defeated death. The Bible says it was impossible for death to hold him. He defeated the grave. And now if you repent and trust in him as Lord and Savior, God says he'll remit your sins. He'll wash away your transgressions. He will dismiss your case. He will commute your death sentence. You do not have to go to hell. You do not have to be damned because of God's love and mercy in Jesus Christ. So what should you do to receive this gift that God offers? Do exactly the same thing you do when you receive a gift from anybody. You turn to them and receive it. And what you've got to do with God is repent. Turn from sin towards God. Stop sinning. Stop lusting. Stop lying. Stop hating. Stop gossiping. Stop stealing. You say, man, I can't do that. Lust is such a part of my heart. Folks, when you're born again, God makes you a brand new person with a new heart and new desires. And the second thing you must do is put your trust in Jesus Christ. In the same way you trust an elevator. You want to get to the 10th floor? You don't believe in the elevator. You put your faith into it. And that's what you must do with the gift of God. And folks, please do it today. Do you realize that every year 54 million people die? Every day 1,500 people die of cancer. You don't know when you're going to go. 42,000 people every year in the U.S. die in car accidents. Every time you step into a car, you could be stepping into a coffin. So get right with God today. Cry out, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And he will. The moment you put your faith in Jesus, you'll pass from death into life.